WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Undoubtedly, one of the major sources of focus this new year will be income and wealth inequality, as indicated by the World Inequality Report, which was recently published by the creators of the World Wealth and Income Database. Global inequality, after widening for decades, has stabilized. As indicated by writers Eduardo Porter and Carl Russell, the share of global income captured by the top 1% has shrunk since its peak on the eve of the financial crisis. Meanwhile, the bottom half of the world's population is reaping its biggest share of the global pie since Ronald Reagan was elected president of the United States in 1980. Much of this has to do with the enormous economic strides being made in developing economies like India and China, which have been closing the income gap with the world's richer nations. However, this set of circumstances is unlikely to last, and that's because there is growing inequality within virtually every nation. The World Inequality Report finds that the wealthiest 1% of humanity reaped 27% of global income between 1980 and 2016. The bottom 50% received only 12%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. For several years, many Middle Eastern nations have run large budget deficits as their economies have been pressured by low oil prices. The International Monetary Fund projects cumulative budget deficits of $320 billion over the next 5 years among Middle East oil producers. Still, that projection indicates that the extent of deficit spending in these countries is declining, with oil prices rising since early 2016. As indicated by the New York Times, the nations of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, and Bahrain have racked up a collective shortfall of $350 billion since 2015, when oil prices were in free fall. Many of these societies have become desperate to diversify their economies away from dependence on oil, including Saudi Arabia, which is introducing both economic and social reforms. In order to expand the participation of women in the economy, last year, Saudi Arabia lifted a long-standing prohibition on women drivers that has increasingly come to be viewed as both unfair and a suppressant to potential economic growth. A growing number of influential Saudi Arabians has also concluded that the ability to drive has to be accompanied by more opportunities for women to work. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Until very recently, wage growth in the U.S. had stagnated. This has not been merely an American phenomenon, but has been observed in much of the world. Many economists insist that this is the result of a lingering hangover from the global financial crisis, and that once worldwide growth gains additional momentum, employers will be induced to paying their workers more. But as indicated by the New York Times, there are other economists who believe that weak wage growth is an indication of a new economic order in which working people are increasingly at the mercy of their employers. These economists point out that unions have lost clout and that more companies are relying on temporary and part-time workers while deploying robots and other types of automation. Globalization also plays a role by connecting factories in Asia and Latin America with customers in North America and in Europe. While reasons for wage stagnation vary by nation, the trend is broad-based. In the U.S., the unemployment rate stood at 4.1% late last year, less than half the rate experienced during the worst of the Great Recession. But wages are up less than 3% over the past year. A decade ago, wages were expanding faster than 4% per annum. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. An increasingly popular narrative suggests that we humans are becoming dispensable. Driverless trucks, robots, artificial intelligence, and 3D printing are rendering us Homo sapiens obsolete. But this flies in the face of the data. The developed world's unemployment rate is down to 5.5%, approaching a 40-year low. Unemployment in Germany is now lower than at any point since reunification in 1990. It is also hitting lows last observed in Great Britain, in the mid-1970s and in Japan in 1994. As indicated by writer Rushir Sharma, there are jobs everywhere. How can unemployment have fallen so low, given all the automation around us and the fact that global economic growth has been soft for many years? One answer is demographics. The world is aging, and correspondingly, the number of people entering the worldwide workforce every year is sharply slowing. As Sharma indicates, a striking example of this is Japan, home to one of the oldest and most rapidly aging populations in the world. The economy there has been barely expanding in recent years, but unemployment there is now under 3%. Moreover, new technologies both destroy and create jobs. For WIPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Just as we've observed growing concentrations of wealth and income in the U.S., we're also observing that certain communities are benefiting massively from the current economic expansion while others are left behind. As detailed by writer Jeffrey Sparshot, a study by the Economic Innovation Group finds that a small number of high-growth cities and towns are fueling America's growth, masking the economic struggles in large segments of rural America and in decaying industrial communities. The report indicates that the national economic recovery has bypassed many of America's most vulnerable areas altogether. According to the study, approximately 85 million Americans, or 27% of the population, live within the most prosperous communities. These areas are often suburban, in the nation's western half, and frequently technology hubs. The top one-fifth of zip codes accounted for more than one-half of the nation's job growth from 2010 to 2015. The worst-off communities are clustered around once mighty industrial hubs in the Northeast and Midwest, rural areas in the Deep South, and isolated Native American reservations. Cleveland, Newark, New Jersey, Buffalo, and Memphis are among the have-nots. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu.